Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We move it, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Minnesota Vikings fans, the Purple People Eaters podcast returns. I'm your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Aaron, will be joining very shortly. Well, here we are with another Purple People Eaters podcast. This time, we have victory to talk about. That's right, a victory. It's been a couple of weeks. What did we lose? 4 out of 6? Back-to-back on the road. But they finally got on the good foot in a major way. Obviously, they ran the crap out of the ball. That's something that we've been talking about. Sure, you can't run it 40 times every game, but hey, let's try to get to that 70, 80, 90 yard mark somewhere in there. But we're going to get into all the details from that Dolphins victory. Cook and company just destroyed them. The defense, I mean, we've been saying they've been playing good to great enough to win these games for quite some time. But they just added on. They just piled on with a bunch of sacks. It was just a good team game. Obviously, a lot of the focus was on offense because, hey, we actually put some points up. So, of course, we're the Miami Dolphin game and what it means overall. Then we're going to preview, well, not in order like this, but we're also going to preview and predict and break down the game coming up this Sunday against the Detroit Lions. It's a big game, huge game. The Lions are done for the season. That's kind of a repetitive thing to say over there in Detroit. Sorry, Detroit, for football anyway. But the Vikings are well alive. You know, even going into this week, I think people were so depressed, you know, that they didn't think we were going to make it. They just had no hope. We're not in yet, though. The coast is not all the way clear, but we're going to break down that Lions game. Crucial, crucial game. And you know, we're going to discuss a variety of topics. You know, I said, you know, we're going to talk about that, you know, breaking down the playoff picture, what it means to the Vikings. Just talk about that offense and how that running game got sparked. We saw more things that we like to see as far as Cousins and the offense in general. Now, Cousins found a way to throw a pick six. But as far as some of the things that a lot of people have been talking about, including this podcast, as far as putting your players in position to win. So we'll talk a bunch of offense, but we can't leave out the defense. All three position groups shined. The secondary, you know, really did a hell of a job. And then, you know, at the end, we'll talk a little, we'll close the show with a little Minnesota Gopher football. PJ Fleck got an extension, some recruiting news, and a little bit more on the back end when it comes to Minnesota stuff. But that's neither here or there. Let's get right into this damn podcast here. And if this is your first time listening to the Purple People Leaders podcast, it streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. Streams live, archives. It's basically the headquarters, right? Now, under the Ropeadope Radio podcast, that's where you find the Purple People Leaders podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. Player FM is another great source, Stitcher, Spricker, tune in all sorts of places where you listen to podcasts. It's a good chance you'll find the Purple People Eaters podcast under the Rope-A-Dope Radio podcast. We're also part of the Grueling Truth everywhere, including iHeartRadio and Spotify. Check it out. Go on and head on over. I couldn't get that out. Go on and head over. Head on over is what I was trying to say, to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. You can read an article. You can listen to the podcast right there, the Purple Eaters podcast, Purple People Eaters podcast. And while you're at it, place a bet. MyBookie.ag. Check it out, MyBookie.ag. If you link it right there, it'll give you a little bit of discount too. MyBookie.ag. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. All right, it is time for this freaking show to start. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron. And it feels good to talk about a little victory, huh? It's nice after those two just horrendous displays of offense in the last 2 weeks. It was nice to get on the good foot.
It is nice to be on the good foot for once in the last maybe 6 weeks, feeling good about this club. I was a little surprised, I got to say. I kind of called that the offense would come out well, but I wasn't thinking it would be that well with a 21-point first quarter. It just kind of came up by the time you knew it. We had put three touchdowns on the board, so that was pretty exciting. Was also a little bit surprised with how the offensive line played and just kind of what adjustments were to kind of see if we could get them to be a little bit better as far as the run game was concerned, and it apparently seemed to work because we ran the crap out of the ball.
Man, did we? I mean, to a tune of 40 carries for 205 rushing yards, it's the most since, I think, sometime in December 2015. So you're talking 3 years. I mean, we're not expecting 40 carries a game, but that's crazy, man. And when you just, you know, put the stats together, rushing in general, I mean, we only put up 21 attempts at passing too, which going into this game, we were tied with, I think Cousins was tied with Ben Roethlisberger for the most, passing. Well, actually just most dropbacks in general, because you really never know once you drop back, as we've seen. But 19 carries, 136. For 7.2 a clip, two touchdowns from Cook. Murray was solid as well, 15 carries, 68 yards, 4.5 per clip. And he got a touchdown as well. Diggs actually got that little end around there, so that was nice to see. But you're right. You know, we both thought we'd win. I do have to give you some credit, though. You had that score extended more than I think I had like 27-16, 27-13 or something like that, whereas you were right on with the blowout. And like you said, I mean, three straight drives. You know, usually I'm going through here, okay, you want to see the first six possessions? Punt, 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 interception, punt. You know, that's usually what it's doing. We got touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. I mean, to start 21-0, you could tell they were making a commitment to the ground game, obviously. That first, just the first drive, six plays, 76 yards, screen pass, you know, to Cook was a big, big play on that one. Cousins under center, not in that shotgun or even in that halfway shotgun where you're not fully back. I just let Cook line up 6-7 yards and actually just let's run this ball. The play action was there. We talked about rollouts a couple of weeks now. We were rolling them out of the pocket early. In fact, it led right to that Diggs touchdown early to make it 7-0. On that Cook run to make it 14-0, the fullback Ham, who was involved as well, he made a great block on that, and Cook, you know, did the rest. And then Murray as well, you know, capped it off with a nice, just dominant run there, and they were just running downhill. Cook, we've been saying for the last month, Cook's ready to go. You could see he's got that extra burst. He showed it, you know, again. And I think in the first quarter, Cousins was 7-for-7. I think he was 9-of-10 for a 118 and a touchdown until the pick six came out. I think that was the fourth drive on the pick six, And I know it's easy to just say Cousins sucks. We're going to cut him next year. We got to restart. And it's been a lot of negativity. And, you know, we've admitted even last week, we finally saw him seeing ghosts out there. He had one of his worst games as far as just not doing the things we've seen most of the season in a good chunk of his career. Not that we saw every game of his career like we see it now as a Vikings fan, but you know, the pick six, it sucked, and it actually sparked him. Two things sparked him: the pick six, and then obviously that 75-yard run to make Fleming 14 early in the third. That actually Zimmer said that was his fault. He made a bad call. I guess he had it in his head. He had this blitz already, and I assume it was a run blitz, and it he just got caught in it, and. And so he actually admitted that one. But when I go to that pick six, I'll say this. I know the first instinct is to just dump on Cousins, okay? And we've dumped on him here, no doubt. But I'll tell you what. When you look at that play, okay? Now, the last pick six, and the fact that we're even talking about this many pick sixes is bad, obviously. But the last pick six in that Bears game, that was horrendous, especially when you had Diggs just sitting there wide open. But this one, it looks really bad. Like, why did you throw that? But if you're setting up a screen to Diggs, okay, the cornerback is going to be probably the first guy you're going to block. Because if you're only going a couple yards off the line of scrimmage and you're going to get a – it's kind of like you're hesitating – and then you're running a little bit, but you're waiting for the screen to develop. The first guy you want to block is the guy closest to him. And, of course, you know, the defensive end there too. But to me, Rudolph had a chance to block the corner, and he looked like a cornerback pushing him along almost like he's playing zone, going, hey, the safety's got him. I'm going to cover this area. It's like, no, dude. You got to block that. And I'm not just saying this. I thought this already, like live. I did hear a player and Cousins say it as well, that you're obviously thinking that guy's going to be blocked. And Rudolph had a chance to block him. And like I said, he just kind of blended him through. And I couldn't figure out, you have two offensive linemen and Rudolph running out there to set the blocks for the screen. So obviously you got to trust. And so I actually don't think it was as bad as everybody's saying. Like, how could you make that play? I think the fact that, you know, it was actually a pretty nice drive going, what was it, 10 plays at the time that lasted 5 minutes. So we could have scored there too. But when I look at that play, it's a bang-bang play. You just dump it off. And I think if you're going to blame Cousins, then you got to blame Rudolph there as well. And in my mind, want to kind of get your take on a couple of the things early on. But then here we are, you know, a couple of seconds, literally, into the third, Aaron, and that 21 lead through the pick six touchdown and that 75-yard drive, one play, 75-yard runs, that had to have been the longest run we've given up all year, if not the longest play from the defense. But 21-14 early third, what the hell's going on through your head? Because in me, I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. This is a game now. It was 21-0.
Yeah, I have to echo those concerns. I saw us going up to 21, and we had a good lead going. Momentum was going our way. I have to echo also your thoughts on that play, the Cousins pick six. And that was, you know, you're right about the play. I think Rudolph did miss a block. It was also a great play by Minka Fitzpatrick to make that play and house it.
Good point.
The play in itself was kind of a mistake, you know, was a major mistake. But what was more concerning was, you know, the effect it had on the game. I mean, you're rolling 21 points up. You're moving the ball down again. And, you know, you go to throw a simple screen pass, kind of on autopilot for Kirk, because, you know, he's probably done it in practice 1,000 times. He knows that play. He throws the ball out, and boom, you're down for 7 points. And the other point you were stating about the turnovers. Now, touchdowns that are accredited to Kirk Cousins' turnovers, That's seven on the season. I mean, that's getting to be a pretty big number. That's seven touchdowns off your turnovers. I thought that it was important to get him under center, like you mentioned, and to kind of take the game a little bit more out of his hands, maybe to avoid turnovers like that. The running game allowed us to do that. But going to that third quarter, all revved up at halftime, and out comes a one-play 75-yard run. I didn't want to see that. I wondered what happened. We figured out Zimmer had said that he called the right or he thought he called the right blitz, and they caught him in it. So Miami must have been onto some tendency or something and hit the exact right play against the exact right defense and took off for 75 yards. So after that, you're right. I was a little bit like, oh, boy, here we go again. You know, we're going to be trying to hold on to a five-point or a four-point lead for the rest of the game. Luckily, it didn't turn out that way. Offense managed to put up 406 total yards of offense, ran the ball 38 times. I'm not sure how many times we threw the ball, but it was far less, and I think we needed to. So I thought overall it was just a really good showing by the offense. And, yeah, that third quarter there and into the fourth, that got a little dicey.
That was touch and go, man. And I have to correct myself. They got a field goal late, so it was 21-10. I made it 21-17, not 21-14. But you're right. The fact that it affected us so much after that pick, which is gonna a little bit, but it's 21-7. You're moving the ball, and you're right. So they had a three and out after that. The first, and they only had the ball for that one play after the field goal drive to make it 21-10. So they weren't gonna score on that. But then after that touchdown, one play, making it 21-17, another three and out. And you're thinking, oh, boy, here we go. But then our guy, Sherrills, this guy, I don't know, how long has he been on the damn team? I mean, this guy's been here forever. He, you know, he had that long punt return, and he had a couple other key returns, by the way. It only led to a field goal, unfortunately, of course, because, you know, we were right there. And even at that 24-17 with that field goal, you know, it's, you know, our defense is playing good, three and out, but then we punt, and then our defense back at them, three and out, and then we started putting some drives together, getting that, you know, other field goal to make it, you know, a 10-point lead, and then to go up top, had a great drive going up, go up top, Cousins puts it right on the money to our guy who only catch, I mean, this guy's starting to be like Chris Carter. He only catches touchdowns. I mean, Robinson, dude, like 17 catches. He has 17 catches there on the season. That was a 40-yard touchdown, by the way. 17 catches at five. Five of them for touchdowns. I mean, that's pretty dope. That's pretty crazy, dude. Like, I'm really glad we picked this guy up. And it's funny, you know, where's Treadwell been? Has he been hurting us with drops? No, but we haven't been targeted, you know what I mean? But, yeah, Sherrills, dude, that was big. And once we got the ball rolling and we got that 10-point lead and I saw that our defense was still just dominating, where they get to 9 sacks, I believe, then it was like, all right, put the pedal to the metal. And finally, you know, what we – like, we talked about this a couple of times. Offensive lines, for the most part, love to run block and dictate the pace and dictate where we're going. That's your guy, that's your guy, that's your guy. Go hit him in the mouth. And what does a defensive line like to do? Get a lead and pin their ears back. And we got a great combination of that. And we got to start – we're going to break down some more offense as we go, of course, but we got to start looking at this defense, man, because they were just gangbusters, to say the least.
Yeah, that was a really impressive performance by the defense. And they've been playing well for the last few weeks, and offense hasn't really kept their part. I heard a rumor that the defense told the offense, you know, just get us 20 points and keep them under 20 points. And they did. They kept them to 17 points. They've been playing outstanding, and now they're starting to get their depth back, which is nice. And I got to tell you, we do this D-line rotation, and that's deadly. And now we throw in our corner rotation with them coming back and being healthy. I mean, you're going to be fresh throughout the whole game, both on the front end and the back end of your defense. Linebackers will come in with Wilson and so to spell some guys and Gideon. So we got a rotation on defense with the guys that can play. it's going to be tough to play this defense later on in the year. They're just getting better and better and better as the weeks go by, as they should. I thought Anthony Barr really stood out, you know, and we've been talking all season, Chris, about making a choice about Barr and Richardson and throw Waynes into that equation.
Sure.
So we can maybe talk a little bit later in the show about, does that change at all, and how much are we going to have to pay Barr, and can we keep them both, and how's that going to work? I mean, I'm coming to the conclusion now that Waynes is probably going to be gone, but you don't know. I mean, there's probably things that can move around, so you don't know, and it's going to bring up that about Sherrills, you know. Sherrills is another guy that he takes up a spot on your roster, and every year at training camp he gets cut. Not really, but, you know. And the speculation is always, this is Sherrills last
right.
year, and then he comes back that year and makes big plays at timely situations like he did on Sunday. So, you know, that's a cornerback spot there that you're going to have to look at. But, you know, I thought 9 sacks, again, we've seen a game of 10 sacks this year and now a game of 9 sacks this year. And we're going back to Detroit now, which we got the 10 sacks on. I mean, that could be 3 games and
that's
almost
right.
30 sacks. That's incredible. Notice that we didn't create any turnovers. That was interesting. I don't know. I know Kendricks got a little banged up and wasn't there for the latter part of the game. I hope he's all right. I don't know. I haven't got injury reports, so we can't really see. I think a really great bright spot, and we can maybe talk a little bit about this, is I kind of ragged on Mackenzie Alexander beginning of the season, and my thoughts have completely changed. He's really starting to and actually is holding down that nickel spot pretty well. So I'm really happy with this defense. I thought there were some things they did different. They sent Barr on blitzes, which could cost us money, but really good to see him do that. He's very talented at that. So, yeah, it was a lot of great bright spots for the defense this week.
Yeah, and you're right about that. We've been sending Barr. We've been just, hey, man, we're going to do this for you. Maybe it's the matchup. Maybe they're like, let's get back to this. This is where we utilize him. That's where he became a budding star. Not almost. He was a budding star. And, yeah, you're right, man. He's really come around. And that's true, man. Alexander, I think there's a stat there. I think it's since Robert Griffith, I think he's from a safety position. I had this stat here. Let's see. Oh, yeah, here it is. So that's his fourth sack. And Robert Griffith is the only guy since 1999 to have four in one season from a deep back, and that's in the history in a single season. So, you know, he's making plays, not just sacking, though, because we saw that. You know, he was right with the guy. It looked like the potential big play. You know, got the knockdown right in the nick of time. And yeah, you're right, man. Alexander's played great. And the secondary in general, we talk about the linebackers. Obviously, the defensive line was just feasting, which they do in general. But, you know, when we get that lead, that's really big. But the secondary, man, there. How many times did you see a Dolphin wide receiver look like you're in middle school and your quarterback's throwing at you? You're like, oh, Jesus, I got to knock him down. What the hell was that? I mean, that's kind of why I quit football after a while, because, like, dude, can I get a quarterback to throw his damn ball? But so many times I saw that where a Vikings cornerback was in position, either taking over the route, right in position, or in the end zone, just right there, and literally over the top, you see an arm come down just to knock it down in time. So that's obviously a great sign there when you're in that great a position. You're right, Sherrills, man. Every year it's kind of like, is this going to be the time? Is this the year? You know, we drafted this guy, we got that guy, and he just makes plays. And I don't know how much he can actually play as a cornerback anymore. He used to be able to do that, but I'm not going to sit there and say he can't. That's for sure. You're right about Kendricks. He did get banged up down there. He got his first sack of the season. And I did want to point this out. I loved his celebration after. I don't know if you remember it, but he dropped out his mouth guard and he pretended like he was playing dice. It was pretty cool. It was a cool little celebration. That was pretty funny. He kept throwing his mouth guard down like he was doing 7-Eleven and backdoor little Joe and stuff like that. So that was actually funny. But yeah, that secondary, still Wilson Parker shut out, not contained, not, you know, no, nothing. They didn't get anything. And that's something, man, because those guys are their, you know, big playmakers for that offense. So that was key. And you know, it was nice to see the Vikings breaking open the game early in the fourth, finally. You know what I mean? That's how we've been in these games. We've said this a million times in some of these losses. With this night in the early fourth, how many times do you say, oh, we're down 6-0 with 13 minutes left, tied 10-10 deep in the third, and then they just blow – you look at the score and you go, really? That was a close game. Didn't seem like it. This kind of felt that way too, where we were inching away from them, and then we just put the pedal to the metal. So that was really, really key to finally be the team that closes it out in the late third and early fourth. You know what I mean? Because – that's been happening to us the last 4 out of 6 weeks.
That last six-game stretch we just went through was just, I think someone did the math on it, and it was probably the biggest or the worst or the most challenging, I guess is the way to say that, six-game stretch that anybody's played in the league. I mean, you start off with, gosh, you start off with the Bears, and then you go to, then you got the Packers, and then you're looking at the Patriots, and then you're looking at the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, just one after the other after the other. And to have the offense not be in a good position for that run was probably not the most fortuitous thing that could have happened. I think they learned a lot in that run. They had managed to win a couple games, I think 2 of 6. So, you know, that was kind of the hardest part of the season. I know this last stretch run is nobody's picnic either, with some games coming up and a lot on the line here with the playoff picture looking the way it does. Just, I mean, anything could happen now coming up towards the end of the season as far as playoffs are concerned. I mean, you're looking for teams to lose. You're looking for us to win. Essentially, you got to win three. If you win three, you at least have the sixth and possibly the fifth spot. If you win two, you might hold on to the sixth, but you might be out of the playoffs altogether.
We only have two games.
Well, two of the last. Right. But I kind of count it as a three. So we've won one. We've got to win one of the next. Right. So we've got to win one of the next or both of the next. And obviously you want to win both of the next. And you don't know what position that Chicago is going to be into when they come in the week after this one. And so it's everything's up in the air. You know, Philadelphia goes ahead and beats the Rams. And then Washington wins somehow, magically. I don't even know who they're playing at quarterback. So it's a... I'm just kind of taking a look at that playoff picture. I don't know if you've looked at it. You probably have, but I guess I want to end up us going down to Dallas for that first game. That's kind of where I want to end up. So I think you can do that with the sixth seed if everything goes the right way. I think that'd be probably the best route to take is go down and play Dallas. But, yeah, I mean, you just kind of have to – these last 2 weeks, you got to see who wins and who loses. It's going to be kind of a crapshoot.
It definitely is, and just to kind of clean up the rest of that game, a couple of things, you know, out of it stat-wise and whatnot. Thielen and Diggs now the first duo with both having 90 catches in a season. Diggs 90, of course. Thielen is over 100 now, and that makes sense too because I remember, you know, it'd be Carter to get the most catches. And then Moss would make the biggest plays, so he would have the bigger average, but he'd be sitting at like 70 or 80. So that's always nice. We came in rushing, you know, 85.4 was our rushing average. And like I said, 205, and that was December 27th, 2015, against the Giants. If you look past that Dolphins, well, you can't look past it, but after that third quarter 75-yard run out the gate of that second half, In the following six possessions, they ran 26 plays, Aaron, for 10 yards. On four straight possessions, they had negative yardage. Like, that is just so damn impressive. It's ridiculous. And you look at Hunter, who was all over the place once again. He tied Alan Page for the second most sacks in four seasons with the Vikings at 39. He's sitting at 13.5 right now. It's the most since anyone from Jared Allen since 2011, I should say. And this Hunter is – I'm so glad we have him extended as well, man. It's nuts. It really is. Here's some more stats, too, defensive line-wise, because we talk so much offense because we're giddy – about the offense, but we can't forget about the defense. They became the second team since 1990 and the seventh since the merger in 1970 to register at least 9 sacks in multiple games in a single season. And you, like you said, it's not over. It's definitely not over. We still got Detroit, and I totally forgot that was actually the team that we did that to in the first place. I know people don't want to hear this, okay, but Cousins, you know, as far as Vikings history all time, I know this is sacrilegious to talk about Cousins, but 3,900 yards plus, basically, and 25 touchdowns. Kramer had 39, almost 4,000, 26 touchdowns. Moon had over 4,000, 33 touchdowns. Pep had almost 4,000 with 33 and 4,700 in 04 with 39. That was that MVP year that he got beat out by, I believe, McNair or Manning. I can't remember. Favre, of course, went over 4,000 and had 33. And here Cousins is at 3,900, getting near to 4,000 and 26 touchdowns. So let's just calm down, take a couple of deep breaths. But the biggest thing, like we said, running, you know, under Flip, John DeFlippio, 18%, if you like running play actions, 18% of their dropbacks were play actions, were just in one. Of course, a super small sample size, but 32%. He damn near doubled it just off that. So that was just a handful of stats that I wanted to get to. But you're right, man. You know, if we get – basically, we're sitting at a 62% for playoff odds, according to the FPI, of course, you know, the Football Power Index, which sometimes, you know, is an attraction. But, we, you know, had we lost that game, we would have fallen out of that second wild card, you know, spot. They really have not a whole lot of, you know, margin for error. They only got a half lead, the Vikes, half game lead. So the only really way to guarantee the playoff berth is to win two games. And we still don't know what Chicago team we're going to face. You know what I mean? You just never know where we're at after next week. A lot of things can happen. But, of course, we have a chance, you know, to clinch that wild card berth with a win and a loss from the Eagles and a loss by the Panthers. And a loss by the Panthers either Monday night or week 16. So tonight – or so we're really, like, we don't want the Panthers, obviously. But yeah, it is stacked up. You got Philly at 7-7, the Skins at 7-7, and Carolina at 6-7. And about a month ago, they looked phenomenal on a four-game winning streak. Now they're on a four-game losing streak. So it is kind of strange how we lose last week. Nothing really changes besides, you know, the fact we could have jumped up on Seattle. So nothing changes really, right? And then we win, and nothing really changes, you know? It's crazy how this thing's going to come down to the wire. But in the same breath, after 1 week, next week, if we were to beat the Lions, it could be a wrap there. And you're right. Let's talk about that, you know, going to Dallas rather than going to Chicago. And why you really want to go to Dallas? I mean, they did get exposed a little bit yesterday, that's for sure. Their defense had been playing pretty damn good. Offensively, they got Ezekiel, they got playmakers, but, you know, that line hasn't been as great as it was the last handful of years. Talk us through why Dallas would be better than Chicago in that first round, because no matter what, we're going on the road, you know, wild card, right?
Right. We are going on the road no matter what. Just, you know, like you said, due to the wild card. You know, Chicago, it's one of those things, you know, you play a team three times in a year. You know, if we lose at the last game of the season and go in, well, then maybe we have a chance to beat them that third time. But that'll be in Soldier Field. Pretty cold this time of year. So, you know, I'd like to stay away from that. Also, you know, familiarity breeds contempt, you know, and we're awful familiar with Chicago Bears, maybe not this version, but having seen them at that point twice, we'll be pretty familiar with them. The reason I'd like to go to Dallas over Chicago, I think either one's a tough game, but I like our defense against Dallas's offense. I'm not a huge fan of Dak Prescott, especially this year. He hasn't played real well. I think we can stop Elliott in the run game, which is, you know, take that away from him and make Prescott beat you. I think we stand a pretty good chance. Plus, their defense, we haven't seen them all year, which is odd for us not to play the Cowboys in a season. But, you know, they haven't seen us. They haven't seen Thielen. They haven't seen Diggs. They haven't seen Dalvin Cook. They haven't seen, you know, anything about us. So I think that kind of helps us kind of going in with a bit of a surprise. I think going into the inside down there in Dallas and also, you know, being in that warm climate, whether they open the roof or not, I don't even know if they can do that anymore. I think they can in that place. That place is ridiculous. But so I think all those things sort of lead to a better game on paper going into Dallas. And I'd like to see us, you know, maybe get out of the cold. Not that I don't trust us in the cold, but, like, we don't play well at Soldier Field, man. We just haven't. And now here's the flip side of that. The flip side of that is, you know, Chicago hasn't seen the playoffs in a long time. And those, you know, ties could be getting right. pretty tight around their necks come that point of the season. And, you know, so maybe, you know, just not having experience in big games and playoff situations could be something that would work in our favor. We've been in the playoffs with the last, well, what, three, this year will count maybe three of the last 4 years. So, you know, we've got a lot of playoff experience here. And so that could help us go into Chicago. I just like the matchup better down there in Dallas with all the reasons that I said. And I just don't trust Dak Prescott. What do you think on you'd rather see Chicago?
No, not necessarily, no. And not only that, but especially if we, you know, we have to play him again in the back-to-back weeks. You know, playing them as far as like showing them the playbook and familiarity. I agree with you there. I definitely agree with you there. And Dallas is a bit of a, like, they are really good at home, but I mean, that's pretty, you know, that's nothing crazy, you know, like, well, yeah, you should be better at home. I hope you're better at home, but they went on a, let's see, they were on a 3 out of 4 game losing streak in October. And it went to November. Then they beat Philly in a tight game, Atlanta in a tight game, Washington in a tight game, and then they got their biggest win, obviously, against the Saints, 13-10. And when you can do that, 10 points, containing that offense, although, you know, the Vikings did contain him as well, if you can't really look at the final score or whatever per se, but that's pretty damn impressive. Then they had another solid win, tight game, 29-23. Maybe they're just tight game in it, and all of a sudden, whatever they were doing to turn around their season, because weren't they like one in, what were they? They had a rough start. Yeah, they were. They came out of the gates 1-2, and 2-4, I believe. So they've put it together nicely. Now the last game, the Colts have been streaking too, but 23-0. That's kind of crazy. If you look at the quarterbacks, though, I will say this. They're kind of similar as far as they're going to beat you with their feet just as much as they're going to beat you with their arm. Obviously, Dak has more experience than Trubisky. But, yeah, I'm with you there. Plus, you're indoors, basically. You're on that same feel as far as that, you know, turf, even though most of it's that turf with, you know, tires in it with rubber balls in it anyway, all over the place, regardless for the most part anyway out there. But I'd have to agree with you. I think that I'm a little wary of their defense. No doubt, but it's not like both Chicago. I mean, we're going to go. You're in the playoffs, so odds are you're going to have good defense, right? So, you know, maybe when we're attacking it a little bit differently, maybe it'll be a little bit different of a storyline rather than what we've been doing against these five good teams when we faced them. But obviously, that's neither here nor there. We hope it is. We definitely hope it is. But is there anything else you'd like to talk about playoff pitcher-wise? You know, the Rams, are starting to come back down to earth a little bit. You saw the Saints kind of puttering a tad bit, if I can even say that about that offense, which I guess I just did. But you see Goff, you know, six picks in the last two games. He's getting a little, you know, maybe you're right about this tightening up thing as we, you know, get into this playoff scenario, man. But is there anything else playoff-wise or based off the, you know, that Dolphins victory, anything like that before we get into this year Lions game?
Well, man, I mean, the way you look at it, you're going to have to play them all anyway. So, you know, and we're going to have to get into the playoffs. I mean, that's not a done deal yet. You said like 65% or something like that. That's still 45% of not making the playoffs. So, you know, you're going to have to make the playoffs first. So we could be getting a little ahead of ourselves. Also, you're probably going to have to play the Saints and you're probably going to have to play the Rams. So you're going to have to play them all anyway. Hopefully I'd like to somehow avoid Chicago. I just, Khalil Mack still scares the crap out of me with our offensive line. So I think that if we can avoid
our quarterback that doesn't protect the ball too well, especially coming from the blind side. You're right. That is kind of scary.
Right. So, you know, if we can manage to maybe get around the Bears and then, you know, the Saints we've seen this year, the Rams we've seen this year, I'll go ahead and take my chances, but yeah, end of the day, you're going to have to beat them all anyway to get to the bowl, so play on.
Play on. We will do. We got a big game coming up. Yeah, it's against the Lions. They're 5-9. It's high noon again. It is nice to have another high noon game. According to that Football Power Index, the Vikings have a 59.3. That's right. 59.3 chance in the matchup predictor to win. Detroit sitting at 40.4. There is a 0.3 percentage of a tie. So you got to keep that open. According to Vivid Seats, there's still 3,000 tickets available for $27. So it's a yard sale there. Come on down. Please come to the game is what they're saying. If you look at the injury report, you're right. We don't have a lot of, you know, things to gander, but when you look at who's just straight up out right now, and who's Trevion Johnson is a first ball rookie. You got an offensive lineman out, John Hand as well. So they have some, you know, probably more guys out. Of course, like you said, though, we won't know until we actually get there. They haven't been lighting up the world offensively. They're giving up more points than they score, which never a good combination, obviously. They're not, man, our running game now is up to 95. It's the highest it's been based off that 205 last week. That's funny. But, you know, the first game around, it was all our, I mean, our defense just ran our ass off. It was what, 24 to 9. 10 sacks. Oh, my God. That's right, man. That is crazy. 25 of 36, a buck 99 is what we held Stafford to. And, you know, we had a healthy lead and then kind of, you know, held it pretty much the whole time and pretty much handled them. You know, now you're facing a team who is 2 weeks away from the off season. Sure, it's a NFC North game, but it's not like this has been a big rivalry. I guess the thing you could point out is this has kind of been a weird team under Zimmer to actually beat two times in 1 year. They have actually kind of had our number a little bit under the Zimmer era, under the Zimmer helm. So I guess you could look at that. The over-under sitting at 43.5. We are 5.5 point favorites, so you know that's almost 9 point favor, and who knows by the time we get there. You know they're coming off the Lions are coming off a loss to Buffalo, 14-13. And I just hate hearing that Buffalo. They played some tight games, win or lose. The Rams kind of cleaned them out at the end a couple of weeks back, but. You know, they beat Carolina 20-19, lost 23-16 to Chicago. So, you know, I wonder what kind of sidelines, kind of energy, you know, how how up are they going to be for this game, Aaron? You know, compared to us, who it's a must win.
Yeah, it's really hard to tell with that team. I'm really disappointed in the Lions. I kind of expected a little bit more out of them this year. I thought they were going to have a pretty decent year, maybe fill the role, maybe not win the North, but, you know, maybe do kind of what Chicago's doing and kind of come up. I really thought their defense would be a lot better with Patricia as the coach, and it just hasn't seemed to work out the way. Now, they did trade away some pretty good players this season. I think it was, what's his name? Golden Tate, got rid of him.
Really,
yeah, and you kind of wonder why is there an early rebuild going on, or maybe he was, you know, sick of something in the locker room. But nonetheless, you know, Kenny Golladay is playing really, really well right now, and he'll be a good cover for Rhodes probably. And you know, I think Stafford is questionable, kind of got nicked up in the last game, so I expect him to play. He'll probably play, but there's a chance that he won't, and if he doesn't, well, it's probably lights out. And oh, and they lost Kerryon Johnson, their running back, who really ran well for them. So they're kind of down on what they have offensively to offer, except for maybe Stafford with a big day and Golladay as well. But, you know, I look for this game to be sort of a lot of turnovers as far as I think we'll get a few up from the Lions, probably quite a few sacks if we can continue, if they haven't shored up their line at all, which doesn't look like they have. Look like they're going with the same personnel that they had before. So, you know, it's going to be, you know, a defensive game, I think, as far as both defenses going at it. They've got some good pieces on defense with Quinn and that other corner, what's his name, Darius Slay. So they got some guys in the back end that can cover, but we've got, you know, a lot of offensive firepower as long as it continues to work the way it did against Miami. So, you know, I think we'll win this game. We have to win this game for our playoff hopes, but I think we will. I don't think it'll be too easy. I think it'll be we'll get up ahead and just kind of hold on for the end. Something like 28-21 is what I'm looking at here. Possibly 28-14. Just depends on, like you said, how motivated the Lions are, not only to just finish off the season, but to actually play a football game. So, yeah, I like the Vikings here. I didn't hear what you said what the over-under was, but if it's 35 like I thought I heard, you're kind of 43.5. Okay, so that'll definitely be an over. I think you take the over on that one and feel pretty good about it. Offensively, on our side, Cook continue to run the ball well. I think that whatever we've found offensively as far as helping out the offensive line will continue. And, you know, when you go game against Miami, game against Detroit, that's a couple games to get it right before you have to face the Chicago Bears. And that's going to be a tough game there. So I think you take the Vikings here by 7 and take the over.
It'll be, I mean, obviously if we were able to jump out to 10 or 13 to zip, then I could see a potential blowout, but I'm kind of with you there. It may play out similar to the last game. I mean, I'm not anticipating, you know, 12 more sacks or 10 sacks. You know, I do think that they'll have a let's get rid of this damn ball real quick. So I think tackling will be, you know, definitely important. I mean, obviously tackling on defense, what do you know? But when, you know, it's a short, okay, give them a little, you know, 4 or 5 yard pickup, but make the tackle. And make them grind it out. Make them get on third down. We know what this defense does on third down, especially, you know, just in general the last 2 years, but in general under Zimmer, really. But the last 2 years have just been magnificent when it comes to third down. This third down defense, like, I can't wait to get the stats more even next week and the week after. Like, the amount, I think, God, I can't remember how many third downs we made it without giving up a first down. But, I mean, it is, I really would like to see, like, the last 60 third downs and see how many have actually been, you know, executed on us and actually gotten it, because it's really impressive. But I do think we'll see them getting rid of the ball, because they're going to look at that tape. They may have not even looked at the tape, you know, after the game. One of those things where you're like, you know what? We don't need to see that. We don't need to see any of that. Coaches will take a look at it, but let's not even let the offensive line look at it. But this week, they definitely have. So I think we're going to see a lot of short passing, and it'll just be up to sure tackling. And we should win this game, though. I'm with you. But I don't think it's going to be a blowout either. So let's see, 43.5. Yeah, I'm going to say 20. God, it's weird to be like 27 and then whatever you say, 28 or whatever. It's weird to think that we can get over that 24 number again when it had been like 6 weeks or whatever we're at. But we should be able to. So I'm going to say 27-16, just like last week, 27-16, 27-13, something like that. But I think that we'll end up getting the W. And then it comes down to really, you know, what happens to the other teams. There is a possibility that we won't be – things could be set in a way where the Bears won't – you know, we'll be resting some bodies. So that'll be interesting. That'll be interesting, no doubt about it. But let's hope that we get that Vikings victory. Yeah, so that about wraps up the Purple People Eaters podcast, the Vikings portion of it. If you've listened to the show, you know that we've had a short segment to close it out. We figure, hey, if you like the Vikings, you like football, there's going to be a certain percentage that follow Gophers football here and there. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're also going to, you know, cover a little bit of Minnesota basketball. The last couple of weeks, we've been letting fans know. Now, we realize the Purple People Eaters podcast is going to be a year-round thing. But as far as a week-by-week podcast, that's not going to be year-round. However, we still want it to go to February, obviously, week-by-week, because that means our Minnesota Vikings are in the Super Bowl for the first time since we've been able to breathe and take it in. So we're not saying that we're wrong, and we're definitely not saying that. However, when that time comes and the season's going to end, only one champion, only two in the Super Bowl, whenever that happens, we are going to switch gears on a weekly basis to a Minnesota-themed basketball show, Minnesota Gophers and Timberwolves. So just heads up there. It won't be a combination or anything like that. That's why we're doing it at the end of this, just to kind of talk about it. But as far as, there's not much to talk about when it comes to Gophers hoops since the last time we spoke to you guys, because obviously, you know, we're on our break right now. Then we got a game. Then we got like an 8-day break or like a 7-day break. Then we have another game. And then I think the 3rd of January is when we kick back into that Big Ten schedule. I think we started off with Wisconsin. We're 1-1 in the Big Ten right now. If you look at our losses, I think, who was this? Someone on Twitter did a little scouting report so far. Averaged 22.4 more points in wins than losses, which is a pretty big gap. Fifth most foul shots nationally, which is a great thing. 21st in offensive rebounds. But some of that is because of shooting. A lot of it's because of shooting. We are 239 out of like 370 out of, actual. There's so many of them. I mean, what is it, like a buck 28 or something for football? Basketball, there's so many teams. But, yeah, 239 in 3 points. We basically got one shooter. And then 195th in shooting overall. Not 3-point, but in shooting. So a couple of scouting things through the first chunk of games. Only two losses. One loss we played pretty bad in against Ohio State, but we are going to get healthy. Timberwolves-wise, still losing four in a row now, and this just in, they are garbage on the road. They are horrible on the road. Just to kind of get my take as far as P.J. Fleck, we did extend him. It's a very minor extension, though. It's not something where we got him till 2028, but we did extend it a little bit, so that's always good, especially for, as the hope and the foundation is being set and it starts to produce on the field more and more and more, we're going to have to really hold on to Fleck. That's the problem with, you know, really going and get a coach that we believe in. Then you got to hold on to him. Even a year or two into Patino's run, he's already been, you know, gone after this season. Oh, he's going there. Oh, he's going there. If he didn't go to Louisville this year, I think he got a good chance of keeping him, being that his pops is out of there too. Of course, it's not quite the way he'd be taken over that we thought, you know, with his pops getting fired and whatnot. But any thoughts, Timberwolves-wise? We'll talk a little bit about the Gopher football recruiting where they you know, we talked about that defensive line, especially the interior, and they're doing some damage recruiting, that's for sure, Aaron.
Yeah, you know, I'm fired up about the Gopher football recruiting. You did say, but we'll talk about that defensive line. Timberwolves, you know, it's just getting really hard to pay attention, although I am. They're just inconsistent on defense. I mean, I think that's really the crux of the matter here. And we brought in Thibodeau to kind of remedy that. And, you know, in his tenure here, which is 3 years, I think, or this is his third season, we're just not seeing a consistent defensive effort. And that loss to the Suns was ridiculous. That shouldn't have happened. The road woes, you know, and then you go and give up, you know, 200 points, obviously I'm exaggerating, to the Sacramento Kings. And, you know,
it felt
you've
like
got
it.
Players.
How do you lose? How do you put up a buck 30? And what was the stat? They had 80 points in the second half and they lost the game? Like, what NBA are we watching? Is this Loyola Marymount?
That's what the name I was just going to bring up was Loyola Marymount. And apparently they were the last team in either college basketball or pro basketball to put up that many points in a half and lose. And I thought, if you're going to, you know, bring up the name of Loyola Marymount back in those days, then you know nobody's playing defense. I mean, that was their game plan at Loyola, not to play defense. And they still, you know, couldn't manage to do what the Timberwolves did. So, you know, it's just not looking good, and it's hard to say without them doing the obvious, which is playing defense, if they're going to get any better going through the season. It just makes me go back into that mindset of, like, you know, can we have a winning basketball team here in Minnesota? Is it possible to have a NBA team that's at least relevant?
Too.
And
yeah, established
right. Now everybody
program,
says
right. Yeah, yep.
Right, and everybody said, well, we had KG. Well, KG was a, you know, a generational player, and
right. Yeah,
he was able to pull guys along, but even him, without him, I mean, just imagine if you just had a player that was a notch under him, you would have been mired in the same thing that we're dealing with now.
It was just Leitner and Ryder. That's who was going to be there.
Right. And, I mean, Chris, like, honestly, we were alive when that team started up, and we've seen the whole thing progress. And every year, with the exception of maybe 7 or 8 of those Garnett years, has been the same story, repeated and repeated and repeated. Now, we're early in the season. Of course, the season can change. But the pattern and the trend seems to be that it's just going to be another year like the Kevin Love years, like the other years where we just don't play defense, we give up leads. And I just don't want to see that anymore. And do we just ship them to Seattle? I mean, what do we do here? Don't want to get into a big talk here because I know we want to move on, and I want to move on and talk a little Gopher football, but it's just getting to a point where it's like, what are we doing? You know, can this work? Will this work? I mean, these are the questions I'm starting to ask myself now.
Yeah, and it just, you know, not long ago we were, you know, on a nice streak. We were playing great defense. And it's crazy because the last four, well, really, since December, and December's just flying by the way. It's December 17th already. Christmas is just around the way. Man, it's crazy. But Wiggins is playing out of his mind right now, too, like, all purposely. You know, like, he's getting rebounds, getting assists. He's hitting, you know, he went through the worst probably 4 to 6 game stretch in his career. And now he's really gotten it going, and what do you know? We're losing. You know, we just can't get on the same page. But I figured it would take a chunk to even know what we are with the changes. But it's tough to keep thinking that in the back of your head because of the way they started with the group that we have. To have that 5-game winning streak, to win 7 of 9 or 10 or whatever it was. Road wins. The Western Conference road wins. Oh, my God. And if you look at our Western Conference, until Jimmy got hurt late February, our Western Conference, we had the most wins in the Western Conference all the way till late February last year. And on the road, it's been ridiculous, man. We'll see where that goes. Let's put that down right now. Let's go to Gophers, and then we'll get the hell out of here. We got a big old defensive lineman from St. Louis. He chose Minnesota over Iowa State, over Nebraska, over Notre Dame, over some other teams out there as well. That was big. As long as, you know, we can keep it. Basically, Wednesday is the early signing day, too, just to have a heads up there. But then also, you know, we started to see some edges. Some ends. And the way we have it, we have Conklin, small edge. You know, we have a different type of lineup when it comes to that. On defense, maybe not your, you know, well, I hate to even say your protocol, you know, your prototypical defensive end because there's so many, you know, ways they do it now. But, it, you know, a lot of people use that linebacker slash thing. But we also, Memphis, tackle. And, he's like anywhere from a 3 to 4 star. He's got that 3 technique, you know, that we talk about for the Vikes. You got to put on a little weight or whatever. But when you start to look at it, man, we are really – we already have two tackles signed as far as freshmen that will be freshmen next year. But we also have two JUCOs, you know, that we have on defensive tackle as well. And one of them, you know, Georgia – Central Florida, Mississippi State. He chose us over them. There was also another, I think it was a decommit from Georgia, D-tackle. So we're putting some bodies down there, and that really is one of the biggest things that we need on defense. We see the offense coming along nicely. I cannot wait to see that offense, not just in the bowl game coming up, but just in general. Next year, but we got to make sure we make strides defensively. And it's really looking like that on the recruiting tail. We'll know more on Wednesday. It's not the official all the way signing day, but it is nice to have. They started this last year where you have the early signing period where people, there's no point. Like, if you're ready to go, sign your letter. It's over. That way you can, you know, let it go. And also we can kind of prioritize on other guys that are still lingering or other guys that we may be able to flip, and that's more in February on the final day. But I'm excited, man. We brought in a lot of talent offensively last year. Now we're going to that defensive end, man, and that'll, you know, this isn't the Big 12, Aaron, right? I mean, this is the Big 10, the SEC. You got to play defense.
You know, I am really impressed with what Fleck's doing out here on the road. He's been on the road recruiting here for a while now before the bowl game, and he's getting guys to flip, and he's moving good guys in here, and he's really said he'd concentrate hard on the defensive recruits, like you said, this year. And he really has. He's got a lot of good JUCO secondary coming in. We've got defensive ends, like 4 coming in this year. We've got the 2 4-star defensive linemen, which is kind of a really great highlight of this class. One's named Christian Williams. The other is Rashad Cheney. I know that Christian Williams picked this over LSU and Louisville. And we talked earlier in the year about what you need to do to get a program from a good program to a great program, and that's the defensive line. And here he is pulling in some of the best ones in the country. So, you know, we did give him that extension, which I'm happy for. Two reasons, one being just to go recruiting so the recruits know that he's going to be here for a while. And that's a pretty standard thing to do in most programs to extend the coach. But also, you know, God, give him more money, keep him here. I'm starting to get worried. Has Ohio State named a new coach yet? And
yeah, they have.
God, that seems good. I mean, I got worried about that for a while.
Yep. He's a youngie,
yeah,
too.
Good.
So, yep, yep.
Good.
Thank goodness.
Yeah,
that's exactly where I thought he was going, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was a good fit for him. And now we're going to be doing this every year. You know, he's got two really good classes here, and I got a feeling they're going to get better here. He's got that ability to go in and change a kid's mind, and it seems like that's what he's doing now. You're right, that's the early signing period. The official one isn't until February. But, you know, you add those two big guys in there with what we got last year on the defensive line, and a couple kids that he redshirted didn't see the field, like Alex Riegelsberger, who's a defensive end, who was pretty highly touted coming in, and starting to see the foundation of a pretty good build here. And you really want to see that continue. So I'm really excited. I want to see how well they play there in Detroit for the bowl game. They should be at the Vikings game. I guess that's what they're going to do while they're in Detroit. I don't blame them. There's not a heck of a lot else to do that's any good for you in Detroit. So it's good to see that. And I'm just really excited to see him finish off this class. Like you said, we both kind of said they needed to work on the defense, the front and the back. And it seems like they're getting, you know, they didn't go too young in the secondary, which I think is pretty good. They went with some JUCO transfers and then some young kids there. So, you know, I think there's a couple wide receivers coming in. So he didn't totally ignore the offense. He's got a few offensive linemen coming in as well. But, yeah, really good to see. I think he's got three quarterbacks. So, you know, I think that's really looking forward to seeing how he puts the rest of this together. And now you start to stack last year's recruiting class onto this year's recruiting class onto next year's recruiting class, and now we're really getting somewhere. So it's really exciting, man. I can't wait to see how it all unfolds.
Definitely. It'd be nice to get a victory, too. We'll see how that goes. Kind of an interesting matchup with Georgia Tech. So we'll definitely, you know, break that down. Skol Vikings. I mean, is there anything else that you want to talk about before we get the hell out of here besides Skol Vikings? Let's get that victory. I don't care if we're the sixth seed. Once you're in, you're in. Whether you're, you know, your pick's going to be the 21st or the 23rd, I don't give two shit. I want the playoffs. You just never know, especially with our defense. And, you know, with this well, real quick, I mean, sample size, you can't go and freak out. But 40 carries. That really told me something. What do you think about that? You know, it's kind of early to talk about this coordinator, but we talked about it for the Gophers, and damn, it sure closed well with the defensive coordinator. What do you think the chances, being that he's a free agent, that we're going to, you know, do the Shermer and just be like, hey, dude, that was good. We're going to keep you. I mean, it feels like that's going to happen just because he's been here since 2006. And he's learned from a variety of offensive talent. Think about it.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And you're right. Remember we said, geez, let's try, like, you know, let's try 35 carries and see what happens. And here we get 38 to 40 carries. It's pretty interesting to actually see what did happen. And, yeah, I think what we'll do is probably keep – I mean, I hope we keep him. I hope, you know, somebody doesn't make him a better offer. That would be my concern there. But, yeah, I mean, he's been with this club for 10 years or longer, so – it just seems like the right thing to do. Obviously, we'll see how he does for the rest of the season and hopefully the playoffs, but I'm on board with keeping him.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first time beyond, like, you know, simulating stuff that he was talking, that they were talking about during the game. It's the first time he ever, you know, play called. So maybe he will have that potential where he stays two more years beyond. You know, I think that's key, too. You want to get a great coach, but it's all about the timing. And we really felt like this was a one-and-done anyway. And it kind of feels like that's going to happen. But we'll see. You know, who knows next week? I don't even want to say anything. I want to knock on wood and just keep the positivity that we got going, the momentum going into next week. And we got to beat the Lions. All right, let's get out of here. Enjoy the game. We'll be back to discuss it all. It's going to be kind of weird with Christmas, obviously, now that I think about it. What's Sunday look like for you? Sunday night. Are you working Sunday night?
No, Sunday and Mondays are good for me, man.
Okay. Maybe Sunday night we'll do that. That way we knock it out before Christmas Eve and Christmas. But we'll keep you posted on that, and we'll talk amongst ourselves, too. But, you know, enjoy the week, and on Sunday, high noon, We got to have that victory. Skol Vikes, you guys enjoy the game. Have a good, safe week before the holidays. Get your Christmas shopping done. Everybody does it online or, you know, the day after Thanksgiving now, it seems, anyway. We're out here. Enjoy. And Skol Vikes, peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, as you fight, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival, the bullshit, the holdback, and when you become the world champion, you're like, you know what, I made it. I'm going to show you it's this. So I'm going to give every dollar worth of what I deserve. Why? Because I'm the world champion.